This presentation is on systems integration, where I run a call center over in the UK, and we've been using Node, Stomp, and various other integration technologies to link all of our bits and pieces together. And it's quite fortuitous, the announcement by Progress about Node, because it's brought it back into the focus of many people here. Node itself is a fantastic integration technology, and you'll see what we can do with the things here. So, my name is Julian Lyndon Smith, for you guys that you don't know. Long time, aka old Progress hacker. I've been hacking Progress since version 3. So if you old dog like me can learn these tricks, you guys can too. So this is not a sales pitch. I think enough of you guys in here know me, that I'm a techie, and I'm trying to give away stuff rather than selling it. So my partner's trying to keep on a very tight leash. It's a showcase of the various bits of the integration technology that we have. So as I say, the Node, the Stomp, everything like that. This is not theoretical. This is not some, you might be able to do this, you might. We are doing this. We are doing it now in a live environment. The phone system we use is something called Hash 42, which is in UK, Ireland, and Denmark. We make up to 25,000 calls every day outbound. Each one of these calls has to be recorded and kept for 10 years. So there's a lot of archiving and technology that we need to do with this. Always good room for people hanging to the chair. So, why do we need to create this project? We'll go over some of the rationale behind this. We'll go over the architecture, all the bits that we're doing. The what, where, when, how, wherefores, and all this sort of stuff, and some of the mistakes we made. I'll give you some examples of coding and usage. I've got a couple of demos to show how you can link things like web browsers directly to your Progress screens. And also, hopefully, a demo for Twitter, linking to Node, linking to other bits and pieces as well, providing the network stays up. I've had some issues with that today. So one of the requirements is that our customers are becoming more demanding. And I'm sure your guys are doing this as well. They're becoming, are there any end users in here? Good. These customers are a pain in the backside sometimes with their demands. But we have to meet them. We have to meet this stuff. So we're going to provide the tools, the technologies, the facilities to enable them to get their impossible demands. An example of an impossible demand, I had a team leader email me for a feature request for the phone system. And this is a genuine request. They said, when this phone system goes down, could you tell people that phone in that the system is down? And they were somewhat surprised when I replied negatively rather fast. So we would discuss putting air raid sirens in all the towns and everything like that. The customer is more demanding as well. So we deal directly with customers, but also you have your own customers and vendors and stuff like that. So we will, the clients wanting to know what happened as a result of the call. What call did you make to who, for how long, what was the outcome? And my customer, i.e. my call center manager, wanted to know the agent stats. What were our agents doing? How long were they on the phone? How long were they busy? What was the green time? What was the red time? So we have to fill all these in. Now, some of these are driven by regulation, legislation, and compliance. The nasty one is that we have to answer the call within 2 seconds. So if we make an outbound call, someone picked up, we must, by law, answer within 2 seconds. So this is the Progress phone system going through all the messaging up to the Progress system. We can be fined if we don't meet this. In the 24-hour period, we must not abandon more than 3% of our calls. There's a company called TalkTalk in the UK. They were recently fined £750,000 because they busted it 2 days. So I'm kind of in the hot seat here because If my company's fine with this money, I don't get my bonus. As we were saying, we needed call listening. So every call, we must have barging technology so that people, agents can be listened in, can listen to calls, everything like that. So what were we using? OpenEdge 11.3. It's a great platform to use. Try and get up as fast as you can to the latest versions. It is client-server global with Windows.NET and ActiveX. We are using some web browser stuff, but mainly it's a client-server. The phone system is a customized Asterisk. Anyone play with Asterisk? It's a really cool platform. It's an open source phone system. Download it, install it, play with it. It's brilliant. We've customized it for certain bits and pieces. And the terminal servers, all of the clients are running a white-core thin client. We've taken a normal PC and all the hard drives, CD drives, USBs all taken out. So it's just a pure box that you can turn on so the agent can't plug anything in. So, who's heard of Node.js? Go on, you're all at the meeting, so I all know you've all heard of it this morning. So I should say, who hasn't heard of Node.js? We have our test servers running in the cloud. So because Asterisk is a piece of software, we can run the phone system as a virtual machine up in the cloud. Which means I can have multiple phone systems, multiple PBXs running. For disaster recovery, for testing. So when we do our testing, we can actually completely test the entire stack. Because we have our own test phone system, we have our own messaging system, everything like that. And I'm pleased to say we actually have it running on Modulus. Our test system is running, well, another part of it is definitely running up on Modulus, we'll see that later. We use Stomp. I've done a few talks recently on Stomp messaging. We wrote a open source Stomp adapter. Someone mentioned in the general session, are you going to be connecting to JMS? You can connect to an ActiveMQ or RabbitMQ, which do the APMQ stuff. Message servers, we're currently using RabbitMQ rather than ActiveMQ. RabbitMQ has some really, really cool tech in it where you can have virtual hosts within the messaging server. And these hosts are completely partitioned. Think of it as multi-tenant messaging systems. And again, RabbitMQ is free. Open source, download it, play with it, fantastic. .NET, you can use .NET for integration. And since 11, you can obviously use non-UI .NET on an app server or on a web speed server. Not many people know that. It actually makes a very, very powerful integration tech. AuthCommand. It is an integration technology. Seriously, but if you're wanting some simple things, AuthCommand works really, really well. Don't overlook it. Obviously, we have web servers and web speed. So, Node. We use Node, and we've used it for about 2.5 years now. It was a bit of a learning curve to get used to the way JavaScript works, and to get the way Node works in asynchronous forms. So you have callbacks and promises and all sorts of things, which make it challenging at first for us ABL developers, but you soon really get into the hang of it. It's a really, really powerful language. So we use Node to connect to RabbitMQ, connect to email, connect to Twitter. Yes, my phone system's hooked up to the Twitter feed. I am the internet of everything. And you can also use web browsers with Socket.io to connect to RabbitMQ as well. So Node itself is a server-side JavaScript engine. If you've used Chrome web browsers, the JavaScript engine is this engine. So what they've done is they've taken the V8 engine from Google and they've made it available as a server-side component. Server-side server. Great point I found was what JavaScript has done for the web browser, Node.js is doing for the back-end server. There is nothing you can't do with Node.
nothing. And I'll be quite plain about that. The more I use it, the more I just get enamored by it. There's obviously the Node.js org and the Modulus IO websites. You should visit. So our stomp, we use to get what we call disparate clients together. So we have Progress, we have CLI. So we've got Bash to connect to things. So from the Bash command, I can send a message to my Progress service, or my Progress applications, or Node, or wherever. Asterisk web browsers and Node and Modulus. So stomp is the simple text oriented messaging protocol. I've done several presentations, and I think it was last year. So the slides for that presentation are available on the Charlie's website, if you didn't get to see it last year. The stomp.github.io is where you can download or read all that stomp protocol. So the messaging servers, these are, who's used Sonic? Messaging servers are what we use the Sonic apart. These are the free ones. So you can send messages between connected and unconnected clients. So you can have Progress talking to Progress, Progress talking to Asterisk, web browser talking to Progress, anything. There are messaging libraries for almost every language that's out there. So wouldn't be surprised if there's a Fortran. So I've mentioned ActiveMQ and RabbitMQ. Now they are the two servers we use. Originally we used ActiveMQ, but RabbitMQ is my new sweetheart. So I've moved on to that one. They're both cross-platform, even on a Raspberry Pi. I have had the phone system running with a web server, with a messaging server on a Pi. I run my home PBX on a Raspberry Pi. I am that nerdy. My kids hate it, because I've given each of my kids an extension with a dedicated DVI. And because I can control the times on this thing, 6 o'clock my youngest son cuts out straight to voicemail. And every birthday they get a half hour rise and cut off to him. You can do some really cool stuff. When I was setting up the system, when I was playing around with it first, I suddenly realized I could start taking action based on incoming caller ID. So whenever my wife phoned, I diverted it to a mobile. So every time she tried to phone my office, her mobile rang. And she says, hold on. Well, I was nearly divorced, yes. And then you've got all the IVR stuff, so you can build IVR menus for a Progress database. Because you've got all the text-to-speech capabilities and stuff like that, so you can take text from a Progress database, shove it out to Google TTS services, and get a sound file back. So, I'll put this IVR and it's, hi honey, if you're angry, please press 1. Of course you press 2. I know you're wrong. So there's a lot of fun you can have, especially with the Raspberry Pi. The Raspberry Pi is a great little thing to buy and play around with. It's a small box, it's about $40, and you can do anything with it. Raspberry Pi. It's an open source piece of hardware. It literally comes, it's a full-blown computer.
It's a system on a, essentially a system on a chip.
The whole thing is brilliant. Anyway, .NET. So it allows Progress to talk with other applications and services, and as I said, not just UI. So I've got some .NET stuff from IPWorks, which I can use to connect to various services, and I don't need a UI to do it, so I can actually run it on an app server. One of the things the phone system do is, my home system has a .NET connection to Google Contact. So my phone system downloads every day all my Google contacts and makes them available on my phone system, so I know who's calling me. So we've got Google Mail, Calendar contacts, Twitter, mail libraries, FTP, card payment systems. All this stuff can be done without UI. And it enables you to integrate with all these applications out there and some services that are out there. Obviously, we're on 11.1. Sorry, from 11.1 you can use the WebSphere backend. Now, I know you all, I heard someone say, seriously, when I was talking about OzCommand. Yes, seriously. Input output works on Windows. Sorry, input through, input output. So you can say input through some DOS command to get stuff back in. So you can capture the output of any program. As I said, it works on Windows too. So for example, how many people are struggling with a HTTP client missing from Progress? I need to go out and get a web page. Shut up, use curl. Curl.exe will go and grab a web page for you, and you can call it from your Progress tag. Makes it easy. So, web servers. A lot of this is some common sense and connectivity and stuff like that. So we've got Apache HTTPD, the Nginx, however you pronounce it, web server, is another open source server that's very, very good and very fast, and is catching up fast with Apache, actually. WebSpeed. Who uses WebSpeed? WebSpeed rules. It's a really powerful, powerful platform to integrate your application with anything else. Because it doesn't have to be a web browser that calls WebSpeed, obviously. You could use WebSpeed just to return JSON data. It's almost possible. It's the truth. So you can use the web server to send and request data from Progress and back to the client. And as I said, it's obviously cross-platform. And you can do whatever you need. But it runs standard Progress programs. There's a little bit of glue in the middle, just a little bit. But then after that, you can just use your normal Progress code to talk to these things. So let's have a quick look at this architecture slide. Our system, we have Node and Modulus running almost everything, controlling the whole thing. So the phone system here pushes through messages. So our node process actually listens in on the phone system's message stream, the raw data coming from the phone system. And when I say raw data, you're talking upwards of 40, 50, 60 messages per call that's happening. All the time. Bang, 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 bang. Node reads those messages, takes the horrible data format that Asterisk has, converts it into JSON, and then publishes it to the message server. So now we're converting everything into JSON because that's the standard format for everything talks JSON now, apart from Asterisk. So all the messages are read, compiled, dealt with, and we also checked to see which messages we're interested in. And only the ones that we want, we then publish onwards. So that goes into RabbitMQ, and RabbitMQ then publishes a message to say, hey, this has happened. Which our apps, WebSpeed, and Apache are all linked into. We have a web UI as well for some maintenance stuff. And it's all run from this. Now, when one of the things that we did is the Node program that we're using to manage the phone system, we were able to split that and run the processing on Modulus. But what the Modulus thing is doing now is the Node package that we have running on Modulus is connected to a Postgres database on the phone system. It's also connected to MessageMQ system running in the cloud. It's also connected to the Asterisk system. So this is all running on Modulus, and it's all just processing and streaming and stuff like that. Our live system, let me clarify this, our live system isn't, because Modulus is just fairly new to us, and we want to make sure that everything works for us. But we have our test phone systems now running on Modulus. And it's really, really powerful, because all we need to do to get our node application running on Modulus is one line of code, and that is Modulus deploy. And what that does is it takes the whole of our node package, it works out all the dependencies, it does all it needs to do, and pushes it up to Modulus and runs it on there. The app is pretty cool as well. But it just works, it's simple, it's easy. And having the power of the Modulus platform to enable us for load balancing, for scaling, because we can run as many servos as we want and spin up as many systems as we want. So we can fire up 5, 10, 15, 20 servers if we wanted to. And we could start monitoring those, and if one starts showing a little bit of load, fire up another one. So yeah, the scalability for especially Node is absolutely brilliant for Modulus. Our stomp servers we use for what we call command and control. Yes, we have our own Skynet. And so the stomp is this central control server. When the Chrono side does something, it pushes a what we call a command and control message down to the phone system. We get system information back from the phone systems, like phones up, phones down, how long we've been talking, all that sort of stuff. We also use it for system updates. How many people have had to, if they need to push something to a Linux site from a Windows site, it's quite messy. Because you've got a set of FTP servers, and we shove a payload packet down stomp. And the node package reads this payload, and because it's on the same machine, writes out the file. Nice, secure, easy to manage. So you can use it for all sorts of things, not just messaging. The customer, well not customer, sorry, a user in the UK emailed me to say, your software app is crap. What? Yeah, that's not very nice. He said, the issue is, he says, we're trying to send a large message and it's a bit slow. What size of message? 280 megabytes. Okay. So, yes, I looked at the code and yes, there was a problem. And it was to do with lookups and stuff like that. So we got that. That message was taking some like 4 minutes to translate. And we fixed it. Yes, my bad code. So we fixed that and we got it down to about 5 seconds. So this is a large file that you can send. It's not just tiny little messages. You can send binary data if you wanted to. You can send all sorts of things to all sorts of systems. So our command and control is what we call opinionated. We are making decisions based on the data that's in there. This is the way we will do it. So we're making assumptions about our message format and stuff like that. So when we say required queues, it will go down this queue for this, it will go down that queue for that. So we handle instructions from our phone system to the PBX. By the way, lots of people say, what is hash font 2? I say, well, it's the answer to life, universe, and everything. So we handle instructions from our application to the PBX by doing, say, dial plan reloads or reloading all the phones if we need to. And as I mentioned here, we create or update message configuration stuff. Gurus need for FTP. If you're using FTP, stop. Right now, don't do it. Why don't we? So our command and control channel doesn't actually publish anything apart from command and control to the phone system. Here's the bit of code that we use to synchronize the phone system, the SIPs. So, OCNC. Yes, you can have an ampersand in your variables. It's cool. So our command and control, we just create a new object, we create a new SIP configuration, and we upload that configuration, and do a reload. So that's now creating all the configuration files, doing what it needs to do, pushing it to the phone, to the RabbitMQ, which Node is listening for. Node takes that messaging and does what it needs to do on the system. So our Node application is creating these config files.
on the phone system itself. But we can access it directly like that, straight from Progress. Neat, small, simple to understand. No sockets, no memory pointers, no any of that sort of rubbish. It's just simple, object-orientated connection. So I've got this fancy hierarchy thing that I've talked all the way through. It doesn't help. So we've now got the upload config file method. So I'm creating a new JSON object. Anyone using, or anyone not using JSON who's using 11, start using JSON in 11. It's so powerful to pass data, messages, all sorts of things. So I'm creating a new JSON object. I'm adding action file name and contents, send message to queue, and all that does is send the command and control queue, whichever host I want, message get JSON text. So my message is my JSON object, and there's a method called take my JSON object and convert it into JSON text and send that. So within Progress now, we're just using JSON entirely to pass a message across, because you never know who's going to want that message. So you might as well, certainly in 11, use JSON backwards and forwards between your clients, because you can pass the JSON object as a parameter. So you can pack all sorts of parameters or options into your payload, send as one parameter, and unpack it on the other side. So if your API ever changes, you just need to change the payload. You don't need to change any of the parameters of your methods or functions. And then you are ready for anything else that wants that JSON data. So if WebSpeed wants it, or Node wants it, or anything like that, your data's there and ready already. So for just a quick demonstration of the code that we're doing here, so we're creating an authentication, passing the token, and then running the Dalpine reload command. So again, it abstracts away all the complicated stuff. It just makes the code easy to understand. So our node status updates, as I said earlier, all events are captured, but we select which ones we pass onwards. Prevents overload, as we say. It's secure because we're using the virtual hosts. Our node application can manage multiple phone systems because they're all just a different host running within the RabbitMQ system. And no other listeners can attach to it. So it's secure. As I mentioned, all the events are converted to JSON because it makes message processing a lot faster. In the 4GL, you can just refer to the JSON data rather than saying entry 3, :, and then splitting that because it's got a apostrophe in it, all that sort of stuff. Use JSON, not your own message format. So this is part of our node code. I like that. We have a on event, do something. Look a bit familiar to Progress program, on event, do something. Switch, we know is case. So when it's case peer status, and we'll send the queue the event payload. And what that does is it sends it to the hash42.update queue with the destination, with the configuration ID, and JSON stringify. It's a great keyword. Stringify this. We call it string. And that's all that does. That's all we need for Node to send messages to us. One line of code, effectively. And that gives us that data. So you can see now, with the payload there, you can add extra things in without breaking existing code. Because if your code is just looking for these values or keys, you can add another key in, and it won't affect your code. So the web speed side of this, I'm subscribing the peer status to the new stomp handle peer status. And I'm subscribing to queue peer status. So what I'm saying is, when I get a peer status message in, I want to call that object with the data. So now my message handler or handle peer status is going to get that update from Node. So I'm getting the destination, the header, and the body, and I can then do what I want. So I'm finding the peer from the character, from the payload, I'm updating stuff, I'm adding some extra bits and pieces in, I'm then sending out another message to say, hey, the phone, everyone listening on my phone system, here's a new update to the phone. So from this, I can tell from a dashboard, for example, that a phone has gone down, stopped working. So I'll get a message to say, unregistered, fallen over, dead, whatever. So you can start taking proactive rather than the user trying to use the phone to it's not working. Putting it down, waiting for 5 minutes, I'll try again. It's not working. After about 20 minutes, he says, haven't had any calls. Well, no, your phone's not working. Oh, I just thought it might be rebooting or something. So we can take proactive and go, your phone's not working. Oh, is it? Oh, okay. Here's a new phone. I'll show you some of that working in a quick demo that we'll have. And there's, again, we've got some more data coming in from the Node side of things where we're connecting to SPOM servers, and etc. So from this, we're parsing data that's coming in from our phone system, from the command and control. And this is the UI part, because what we're doing, we use Ember as a front end for some of the stuff. And what we can do is we're finding the phone that's published the message, and we're setting the IP address and peer status. So we'll know now what phone is where, what GUI ID has what IP address. So you can start using this for mapping all sorts of interesting network stuff together if you wanted to. And what I'll do, probably got what, 10 minutes left. It is 45 minutes, isn't it?
It's 35.
I have 15, I think. So what we'll do for this demo here is we'll show you the screen and we'll hopefully boot up the phone. I'm slightly nervous about this because one of my demos is listening for a Twitter feed that does all sorts of stuff and at the end phones you. And I thought I'd be clever and listen for the on modulus hashtag because not many people will be using that. But of course, Pro's marketing has gone into overdrive and they've been publishing message after message after message today. So I'm not entirely sure what's going to happen if I fire my phone. So you have to bear with me on this one. So let me. Sorry? I hope so. So. Oops. What we've got here. So what we have here is the 3CX phone. We had that IP that you can see it's unregistered. And what I'm going to do is fire up my phone. And hopefully as the phone comes up. Scoring network connected. It's now reachable. So we're updating a web form without refreshing from a phone system that's running on Amazon connected to a modulus thing running somewhere on Amazon, I believe. So we have lots of Amazon things running, modulus running. My laptop here is the database server, is the app server, so you can see how we can connect all these things. And we're able to update things like web browsers with data without refreshing the page. So we're pushing data straight to these web browsers. And we could have 100 of these web browsers running and they'd all get the message at the same time. So for integration, this sort of stuff is so cool.
It's just using
.js. It's using SockJS?
Yeah.
On the browser. You need certain types of programming. 3 years ago, this was quite complicated because a lot of browsers didn't support this sort of thing, whereas most of the modern browsers do. Now, if you think there's all sorts of things you can do with that, I'm just showing you to update a simple status. But you could do it for all sorts of things. So if you had a web browser on your sports database and you have a customer update it, If you publish the message to say this customer has been updated, you can update all of the information on everyone's screen, whether it's a Progress screen, whether it's a web browser screen, instantly with the updated data. It's incredibly powerful ways of doing stuff. The other quick demo I'll do. Do my phone flare up this thing? I suppose I'm going to take the gamble and. My log. So this is the Modulus application that I've got running on Modulus.io. I have a stream. I'm hopefully going to be seeing some data when I start publishing stuff. So I'm connected to that. We'll have that running in the background. We'll shove. Now, he says, if someone tweets either hash pub challenge or hash on modulus, it might work.
Might work?
I hope so. Oh, that's something missing here. Damn. Okay, what am I missing? Sorry, I'm missing something here, and I'll just read it. So I received a tweet. I received an update. My phone is. Completely cheesy elevator music. But you can see what's happening in the background there is all the node stuff. On Amazon is getting all of these events firing off whenever we do receive this. So I've got a received peer status, got peer events. So I've got an unknown event, new channel, so I don't handle that, so I don't worry about those. You can see just by making a phone call, all the stuff that flies through there. And by hanging up, you get more. Now, I need to figure out why this isn't. No blue spots connected. I know. My IP address has changed from out underneath me, which is what happens. So my system here, I need to just stop and restart. Stop and restart the app server. Sorry, the budget's been broken. So in my connections here on RabbitMQ, you'll see all the various places that this is connected from, and hopefully when I start this up, we'll get some more. There we go. Yay! So this is all the Twitch.
Great, it works.
So maybe we can try that now. Someone.
Yeah.
what you need right now is a 13-year-old girl.
Yes.
Once more,
we're teaming. So slight technical hit on the progress side. But really, what happened there is the hotel's Wi-Fi cut out, so my confidential was lost from my web feed server. So I was getting a message in to send it out to Google, but we weren't getting that. But you can see how powerful that can be. I mean, you could send a tweet that shuts down your phone system, if you wanted to. These are all sorts of stuff. Or you can send a tweet that makes a phone call to someone. So if someone's in the, they might have social media or something like that, they can tweet help me or something like that and ring someone to get some help. There's all sorts of options and things you could use with this. But it shows you how really Node, Modulus, Progress, Stomp, RabbitMQ can all be used together to link things in, to integrate your technologies. And it opens up a whole world of possibilities for you guys. So I think we're about on time. Ah! That'd be nice. Oh, I missed that one. So I made the phone call system so it stops after 2 seconds.
What?
Live on
Modulus. Demo at PRPS.
But again, if you're just linking your phone system, you know, it doesn't even need to be a phone system. If you're linking something like Twitter in, your Progress application can be monitoring the Twitter stream for whatever you want to analyze. So if you're wanting to count how many times hash on Modulus was used, you could. In your Progress application, not some fancy schmancy little thing that some 16-year-old has dreamt up in his bedroom. As developers, we can write out our Twitter stuff. We can be hip, we can be cool, we can hang out with cool kids. I think we're about done. Spot on. Do we have any questions?
Excellent. For example, where we tweeted your phone rang, what part
did
Progress play in?
Progress played the part of receiving the initial tweet, storing the information, putting it in the database, analyzing relevant accounts, we're doing all sorts of stats on it. It also then created the message required to send another message to Stomp, to send it out to Google, to get it converted into sound format, and then Node to then place the phone back. It's all very convoluted, isn't it? But it's fun. Any other questions?
What was it that brought
up? I'm a geek. I like surfing. I came across it and thought, oh, that was cool. And I found a use case for it. It was, for me, it was a fortuitous thing. I was browsing and I just loved the way that it, I think it was 27 or something when I started playing it or something. But it solved some problems because I could see how you could connect this and connect that. And, especially if you could link it to the RabbitMQ. I'll ignore that because I don't know what's on. But as I say, you could just see how it could glue everything together.
The external vehicle waiting to go down. Progress, tweet to someone's phone. Progress, SW.
Handy cool. So you can see the tweets coming in here. So please don't put anything rude. Yes, Chris. Sorry, I didn't hear
you.
We have an adapter called Node for Progress, which allows you to send a message straight from Node into your Progress App Server. We use Stomp just because we can disconnect everything rather than binding things together. We find if you're running in a disconnected state, I can swap this bit out, I can swap that bit out. Whereas if you're tied in, it might perform better. But it's horses for courses. I just like stomping, I like nose, and I like stuff like that. Anything else?
How did Apache fit in your diagram?
Apache is the front end onto web speed.
For a one time for user and graphic?
Well, no, we use it for, because the web server has to pass a request onto web speed. So
whatever you can't do that right from nodes.
Sorry?
You can't do that right from nodes.
You have to make a request for a web server. What I was just saying to Chris is that there is something that will connect nodes straight to Progress using app servers instead.
Then you cut out Apache.
But you can as well set Node up as a web server, so you can call Node as an HTTP stuff. So you can reverse it as well, which is quite powerful. The Hoogla website is actually running on Modulus as a Node application rather than an Apache web server. We haven't scaled across 20,000 users yet, so I don't really. It works for us.
Just a comment. You know, a lot of people use Node to connect pre-existing web services, however they are. Mm-hmm. It's very common to have Node act as sort of a gateway.
Yeah.
A lot of requests come in. It does asynchronous calls to a lot of other web servers and it collects information. So it's a very common pattern to, you know, not go directly to a back end, but to actually.
Yes, sorry, Bill.
Answer your phone.
Right, well, I'm here for the rest of the conference. Anyway.
No, you're not.
I will turn it off. So if anyone wants to.
Yeah, it's great to see. The X technology.
So if you just come up to me, ask any questions you want, and we can talk then. Thanks anyway. Thanks for listening.